Welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectors.net. Give me a call. The number is 208-991-4783 and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodragnet. Today's episode is brought to you by the support of our listeners. Thank you so much for all your support. And be sure to listen after today's show. We're going to finally discuss kind of what some of my thoughts have been on after we finish up with Dragnet. We only have 27 more weeks to go after today, so we're going to discuss that. But now it's time for today's episode, The Big Talk.
Dragnet. Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a robbery detail. A watch salesman tells you his sample case has been stolen. He says he knows the men who did it. Your job? Find them.
It was Tuesday, October 4th. It was cool in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Chief Detective Thad Brown. My name's Friday. We're on our way into the office, and it was 7:46 a.m. when we got to room 27A. Robbery.
I'll check the book.
All right. Any for us?
No. They took Faye to the movies last night.
Well?
Yeah, darn good double bill. Mystery and a comedy. Sure had me fooled.
What?
The mystery had me fooled. I never can figure out a whodunit.
Yeah.
It was this rich society girl.
Mm-hmm.
She lived in the penthouse, top floor, real modern kind of glass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they found her lying outside in the roof garden part, and the doors were all locked, and the police had to break them down to get in. As soon as they got in...
Yes, sir.
I'd like to report a robbery. Is this the right place?
Yes, sir. You want to sit down?
Oh, thanks. My name's Liggins, Russell Liggins.
Can you spell it, please?
Yeah, it's L-I-G-G-I-N-S, Liggins.
Mm-hmm. This is Frank Smith. My name is Friday.
I'm pleased to meet you.
How do you do?
I suppose you tell us what happened, Mr. Liggins.
Be okay to smoke?
Sure, go ahead.
You fellas care for a cigarette?
Yeah, thank you. Here, I have a light. Frank?
Thank you. Well... It was my own fault to begin with. It just wasn't using my head.
Uh-huh.
The company ought to fire me. I wouldn't blame them if they did.
What company is that?
Sentinel Watch Company up in Seattle.
I see.
It's a new outfit. They import movements from Japan and put them in cases over here and wholesale them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of their head salesmen. I came down for the jewelers' convention.
I see.
The convention ended yesterday, and I was supposed to leave for home this morning, 9 o'clock plane. I guess I have to take a later flight now.
Yes.
Oh, I have all the dumb stunts. Practically handed in my sample case on a silver platter.
That's
over 100 watches. Our best stuff. A lot of them in jeweled cases. Company wanted to make a good impression, you know?
Hmm.
Where'd the robbery take place, Mr. Liggins?
Front of the hotel. For all intents and purposes, that is.
Which hotel is it?
The Greystone. That's where I've been stopped.
I see. Do you have any idea who robbed you?
Best idea in the world.
Yeah.
Spent a couple of hours with him last night.
Yeah?
You see, what happened is this. Like I said, the convention was over yesterday and wound up about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And... Well, I had the whole evening ahead of me, nothing to do.
Go ahead.
I had dinner there at the hotel, a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Stole too early to go to bed, so I thought I'd look the town over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Stopped by Pershing Square and listened to those characters spouting off, and along about 10 o'clock, I headed back toward the Greystone. Passed the bar and decided to go in for a nightcap.
Do you remember the name of the bar?
No, I'm afraid not. It's just a couple blocks from the hotel, though. Had a nice little combo in there, played pretty good music. So I sat down for a while.
Yeah.
I guess I had a little too much to drink. Oh, I wasn't drunk or anything like that, but had my share.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a little higher. I wouldn't have got started talking to a couple of strangers the way I did.
Yeah.
They were sitting next to me, these two fellas. We got to chatting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was about music at first. They seemed to be enjoying it. One thing led to another, and they bought me a drink, and I had to pay them back, of course.
Yes, sir.
Asked me what line I was in. I told them I sold watches. Said I was in town for the jewelry convention. They took a real big, said that's why they were here, too. Claimed they had a jewelry store in Salt Lake City.
They mentioned their names?
Oh, sure. They introduced themselves, but it didn't sink in. Not their last names, anyhow. George and Paul. Yeah, that's all I can remember.
Mm-hmm. What happened then?
Well, they started complaining about the quality of the watches they'd been shown. Said they hadn't seen anything worth buying. So I asked them if they'd looked at my samples, and they said they didn't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I offered to make an appointment to show them my stuff. Figured I could stay over an extra day on the chance of making a good sale. And they said that wouldn't be necessary for me, you know, to stay over. Said they could meet me this morning before I left for the airport.
So did you set up an appointment?
Yes, sir. I told them it'd have to be early if I was still going to catch my plane, and that was fine with them. The earlier, the better. Agreed to meet me at 7 a.m. They even offered to drive me to the airport. Couldn't ask for anything more than that, could I?
No, sir.
Well, anyway, I come downstairs about 6:45 and checked out, and they were supposed to pick me up in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, about 5:05, they come by. I hopped in the car, and we drove off. We hadn't gone more than a mile or so, and they pulled over and parked. A quiet street, not much traffic.
Hmm.
I asked them why they were stopping there. I figured I'd show them my watches out at the airport. They said they wanted to look at them now.
What was that again?
They said that they want to look at them right now, you know, in the car.
The watches?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And it struck me as kind of funny. I didn't see where it would make any difference. And I opened up the case, and they just sort of glanced inside. And then one of the fellows, the one named George, he took out a gun and started shoving me through the door. And I tried to argue with him. I wasn't getting anywhere, though.
Pulled a gun, huh?
Yeah. And he, you know, kind of pushed me with it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I asked him to please at least give me my suitcase. I said it wouldn't be worth anything to them, but I needed it. And they tossed it out on the street beside me and drove off.
I see. What about your wallet?
Hmm?
Did they take your wallet, too?
Oh, no. No, just the sample case. I guess they were in a hurry, didn't want to spend a lot of time there on the street in broad daylight or something.
Oh, I see.
As soon as they left, they started looking around for a cab. Had to walk a couple of blocks before I found one. And then I got him to bring me right here.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a car do they drive, you know?
The fellows that robbed me?
That's right.
Sedan. I think it was black. A Ford.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the license?
No, I didn't even think of trying that until after they were out of sight.
Well, now can you describe these men for us, please?
Well, sure. Well, they were about 40, medium size. George had black hair. And the other fellow, he had sort of sandy hair, you know?
I see. Any marks or scars?
I don't think so.
How were they dressed?
Suits. Conservative. Blue or kind of gray, maybe. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Were they wearing the same clothes this morning?
Well, no, I don't know. They had on top coats today.
I see.
Now, you said their names were George and Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else that might help us identify them?
Gosh, I'm afraid not.
Do you have a list of serial numbers from your watches?
Yes.
May we see it?
Yeah, it's in my wallet. Hey, just a minute. There you go.
Ah, thanks very much. I'll get out of circulator, Joe.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want from me?
Yes, sir. We'd like to have you show us the bar where you met these men.
Well, no, sir. I'm not sure I can. A lot of bars in the neighborhood, and I didn't pay too much attention.
Mm-hmm. You said they had a combo there?
Yeah.
Well, that ought to make it easier.
Well, sure do my best.
Yes, sir.
I have to get my airline ticket changed, too.
We'd appreciate it if you stay over a couple of days.
Oh?
In case we turn them up, we'll need you to identify them.
Well, there isn't much chance of that, is there?
How do you mean?
Well, the descriptions I gave you could be anybody.
Yeah.
Besides, the company will want me back on the job. That is, if they don't fire me for this.
Well, you know, you aren't the only thing they'll want back.
Huh?
They'll want those watches, too. Frank and I checked the M.O. and the descriptions Russell Liggins had given us with the stats office. They came up with 11 possibles. We took the names to R&I and pulled the packages. Liggins was unable to identify any of the mug shots. 10:13 a.m., we cruised the vicinity of the Greystone Hotel looking for the bar where Liggins had first met the suspect. He told us the Green Hat Cafe on 6th Street seemed familiar, but he wasn't certain. We left him in the car and we went inside to interview the bartender.
Look, you boys know me. I run a nice, clean place. Don't even cut the liquor.
Yeah, sure.
I ain't caused you no trouble. Why don't you lay off?
Just a couple of questions for you, Sam.
Sure. A couple of questions. Next thing I know, I'm testifying in court.
You got something you ought to testify about?
No. No, of course not. I'm just talking.
Well, then talk to us, huh?
Okay. What do you want?
You on the job here last night?
Yeah.
All evening?
All evening. I got a little combo working in the joint now. They cost money. There's nothing left over for extra bartenders.
You see that fellow out in the car?
Where?
Right over here, Sam. Lean over. See? Out there.
Yeah, I see him.
Take a good look at him.
All right, I look good.
He ever been to your place?
Like when?
Last night.
Bar was real crowded last night. Music helps the business.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been here.
Well, yes or no, Sam?
Yeah, he was here.
Alone?
Yeah, he came in alone.
Mm-hmm.
He took that stool over there, had a few drinks and left.
Mm-hmm. You talked to anybody?
He talked to me.
What did he say?
He liked the music, that's about all.
Who else he talked to?
A girl sitting next to him.
Was she?
Well, I don't know her name. She comes in once in a while, kind of nice looking.
There were a couple of men in here, too, weren't there, sir?
Well, there were a lot of guys. Why?
Well-dressed, middle-aged.
Could be.
They talked to him, too, did they?
The fellow in your car?
Same guy, yeah.
Well, if they did, I didn't see him.
Had quite a conversation.
I didn't hear it. Music's pretty loud.
Who were they, Sam?
Look, I don't ask for a driver's license unless the guy looks like he's under
21. Come on, Sam. Who was it?
He's conning you.
Hmm?
That friend of yours out there.
Yeah.
End stool, that's where he sat.
Uh-huh.
The girl was next to him the whole evening.
Well?
He couldn't have talked to nobody else.
We took Liggins into the Green Hat Cafe, and he said he was certain that that was where he had met the two men known as George and Paul. Sam Huppel, the owner of the bar, was equally certain that Liggins was mistaken. 10:48 a.m. Frank and I drove Liggins over to the Greystone Hotel. While he went inside to re-register, we talked with the cab drivers who were stationed at the stand next to the main hotel entrance. One of them told us he had been parked there from about 6:30 until 7:15 a.m. that morning.
Thought I was never going to give me a fare. When it starts like that, the whole day's shot. Look at me now. I've been sitting here for the last 25 minutes.
Uh-huh. Did you see a man come out of the hotel about 5 minutes to 7?
I was watching those doors real anxious. If he came out, I saw him. Same fellow we just let on.
Oh. Remember him?
Sure.
Did you notice the car he drove off in?
You kidding?
What do you mean?
This hack of mine.
Huh?
He was my first fare this a.m.
You picked him up here?
That's right. It wasn't 5 or 7, though. Closer to 7:30.
Where'd you take him?
City Hall.
We went into the hotel and talked to the desk clerk. He told us that Liggins had been assigned the same room he had previously occupied, 417. He also told us that he was almost positive Liggins had not carried a sample case when he checked out that morning. We talked to the bellhop who had brought down Liggins' baggage. He said Liggins had only one suitcase. 11:13 a.m. Frank and I went up to room 417.
Come in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's very kind of you. I'll be with you as soon as I get off the phone.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Well, a day or two, I guess, if that's all right. No. No, they didn't take my money. Thanks, I can manage. Oh, just one thing. Would you ask one of the girls to call my wife and explain it away? Oh, thank you very much. Bye. Just talking to the boss in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Says it's all right for me to stick around a few days.
Good.
Now, you really think you can find those guys that fast, huh?
Well, we may not have to look for them.
What do you mean?
We've been checking your story, Liggins.
Yeah?
Leaks like a sieve.
Well, that lousy bartender, huh? You taking his word against mine?
No, we get more than the bartender.
Oh?
The cab driver says he picked you up here at 7:20 and drove you down to City Hall.
Well, he's crazy.
He can have it in person.
He must have picked up somebody who looks like me, that's all.
We talked to the bellhop who brought down your luggage. There wasn't any sample case.
I carried it myself. I wasn't going to let a bellhop handle something as valuable as that.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't notice it, that's all.
The desk clerk didn't notice it either.
Well, I stood in front of his desk when I paid up. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys want from me?
Just tell us what happened to the sample case.
I've told you the whole story.
There was one thing you left out.
What's that?
The truth. We continued to question Russell Liggins in his hotel room. He insisted that he'd been telling us the truth. We confronted him with the cab driver, the desk clerk, the bellhop. He refused to change his story. 1:05 p.m., we drove Liggins down to the City Hall for further interrogation.
How much are the watches worth?
The wholesale or retail?
Both ways.
About 4,000 wholesale, maybe 10 retail.
That's a lot of money.
Well, sure.
Is your boss upset?
Well, he wasn't very happy about it.
He's insured, isn't he? Well, come on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't you know?
Yeah, he's insured. He said so over the phone. He told me not to worry.
You didn't know about the insurance before.
What if I did?
Maybe we better talk to your boss. What's his number? Come on, fella. What's his number?
Well, what are you going to tell him?
That you've been handing us a line about being robbed?
Well, you think I robbed myself? Is that what you're getting at?
What else can we think?
Oh, you're crazy.
Where are the watches?
Somebody stole them.
Yeah, George and Paul.
Look, okay. It wasn't George and Paul.
Go ahead.
I made it up. The whole thing about them. You know, the fellas. I had to tell you something.
Sure you did.
Well, you want the truth, don't you? Well, you're getting it. Least you can do is try to believe it.
You make it kind of hard to buy.
Look, I went into that bar last night just like I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender was right. I didn't talk to anybody except the girl sitting beside me.
Yeah.
Well, she said she came in because she liked the music. And I was feeling kind of lonesome. I don't know anybody in L.A., so we started to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Said her name was Barbara. didn't give me her last name because she was married and she wanted to keep things on a first name basis. And that was all right with me. I told her to call me Russ.
Yeah.
She said her husband worked nights, one of the aircraft plants. Mm. And I told her about my job, that I sold watches. She kind of laughed when I told her.
What about?
Well, it was a big coincidence. Me being a watch salesman, she was planning to buy a watch. Told me the one she had was ready to give up the ghost.
I see.
Then she showed it to me on her wrist. A real cheap kind, just a piece of junk.
Yeah.
Well, she asked me if maybe I could get her a new one wholesale, and I said I might be able to arrange it. Then I suggested she come up to my room and look at the samples I had there.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't up to anything. I figured we'd have a couple of drinks, but that was all.
Sure.
And then she kind of hesitated, said it wouldn't look very good. And finally, she agreed we went over to the hotel, and I had a bottle in my room, and I fixed us a drink. And then I showed her the watches. She picked out the one she liked, but she didn't have any money with her, not enough to pay for it anyway.
Yeah.
Then I told her she could have it for free. You know, as a present.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an expensive model, and I was going to pay the company back out of my own pocket. So she took off her old watch, and she put it in her purse. And she put the new one on.
I'm glad.
And then she said we ought to have a couple more drinks, you know, to kind of celebrate the present. She offered to fix it. Well, maybe she put something in mine, or maybe they were just strong. I don't know. Anyway, I don't remember much after that.
What'd you do, pass out?
Yeah, I guess so. Next thing I knew, it was morning, about 6:30, and I'd fallen asleep on the bed with all my clothes on.
Yeah.
That must be why she didn't take my wallet.
All right, what happened then?
Well, I didn't think anything was wrong. I couldn't remember when Barbara left, but I've blacked out before when I've had a little too much.
Yeah.
So I took a shower and I got dressed. It was while I was dressing I noticed the sample case was gone. I looked everywhere for it.
You figure she took it?
Now, who else could have? Boy, you guys are pretty hard to convince, aren't you?
Well, why didn't you tell us about Barbara when you first came in here?
Well, I was thinking of my job.
Yeah.
Boss just promoted me a couple of months ago. I'm doing pretty good. I'm making fair money.
Is that so?
Yeah, if he ever found out I let some dame roll me in a hotel room, well, I'd be out of my ear.
All right.
And that's not all. I got a wife. Helen, that's her name. You guys married?
He is.
Well, then maybe he'll understand. We've only been married a couple of years, and Helen doesn't like the idea of me being on the road half the time. She's suspicious enough as it is.
Yeah.
So I did some quick thinking, come up with a story I gave you this morning, you know, about George and Paul. Well, it really wasn't my own idea exactly. What I mean is that I was talking to a salesman at the convention the other day, you know, one of the real old-timers. He told me how some guys had robbed him once when he was just starting out, and that's where I got the idea. Sort of switched it around to fit what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't see where I was doing any harm. I never thought you'd be able to get the watches back anyhow.
Well, you didn't make it any easier for us.
Well, maybe not. But you don't know Helen. She'd leave me sure as fate if this ever gets out.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cause you any trouble. It didn't seem to make any difference what I told you as long as the watches were gone.
No, it makes a difference.
Yeah?
If we want to find out who took them. 3:15 p.m. We went back to the Greystone Hotel and talked to the manager. He gave us the home telephone number of the elevator boy who had been on duty the previous night. We called the boy, and he told us he remembered taking a passenger who resembled Russell Liggins up to the third floor sometime after 2 a.m. in the morning. He also remembered that Liggins had been accompanied by a young lady. He did not remember bringing the lady down, but he suggested that she might have used the stairs. We called the crime lab, and they went over Liggins' room. They found no useful fingerprints or other physical evidence. 5:15 p.m., we went back to the office. Liggins gave us a description of the girl known to him as Barbara. We showed him some mug shots, but he was unable to identify any of the women. 7:18 p.m. Frank and I again interviewed the bartender at the Green Hat Cafe.
Well, what did I tell you? Just a couple of questions, that's all. Next thing I know, you guys have moved in for the winter.
All right, Sam, I'll take it easy.
Have I got any choice?
You remember the girl Liggins was talking to in here last night?
So it's a girl now. I thought it was two guys.
Oh, come on, Sam. You mentioned her yourself.
I never figured you fellas believed anything I told you.
We want to know who she is.
Just a girl, that's all. She comes in once in a while.
You got a name?
Never introduced herself.
She live in the neighborhood?
I don't know.
Well, who does?
Look, this Liggins is a character. He's already taken you for one ride today. Now, why don't you get off?
We'd like to get in touch with you, Sam.
Get in touch?
You gonna help?
Well, how can I help you? I don't know her name. I don't know her address.
Yeah, well, maybe you can find out.
I busted my crystal ball just the other day.
All right. We'll send in a couple of uniforms to watch your joint for a few days.
Hmm?
You got any objections?
Well, sure. Cops make me nervous. Like the customers nervous, too.
Maybe you got the wrong kind of customers.
Well, what are you going to do? All right, talk to Jeanette.
Jeanette?
Yeah, the waitress. She's in the back room eating her chow.
She know the girl we're looking for?
Yeah, they're real buddy-buddy. Spend half their time chinning together. Never get any work out of Jeanette once the other one comes in.
All right, Sam. Thank you.
You know, there's something been worrying me.
What's that?
Whenever you guys show up, I make up my mind you're not going to get any answers from me. I'm not even going to give you the time of day. And then what happens? I end up telling you everything you want to know.
Maybe you just like it, Sam.
Yeah, that's what's been worrying me.
Frank and I walked back into the kitchen of the Green Hat Cafe and we interviewed the waitress, Jeanette Grover. She told us that her friend's name was Barbara Hooper. She also told us that she had no idea where Barbara lived.
She used to have a room over on Western, but she moved when she got married.
How long ago was that?
3 weeks. Oh, no, let's see. It's longer. Oh, they went to Vegas on a Sunday. It'd be 4 weeks next Sunday.
Mm-hmm. You're sure you don't have her address, huh?
No, she gave it to me once, but I didn't take it down. I wouldn't have no use for it.
How's that?
I don't get along with Tom.
Tom?
Yeah, that's Barbara's husband. Tom Kernan. Oh, say, that's right. I guess I made a mistake.
Ma'am?
When you asked me what her last name was, I said it was Hooper. I should have said Kernan now.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know why she ever married him, a good-looking girl like Barbara. She sure could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
Tramp. That's all he is. Well, I told her what she's letting herself in for.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got a record as long as my right arm. I've seen him come and go. When you work in a place like this, you can spot a rotten apple a mile off.
Mm-hmm.
I never figured he'd get into trouble this fast, though. What do you want with her?
Just like to get in touch with her, that's all.
Oh, man, I know better than that about cops. They want to get in touch. They mean business. You mind me giving you a piece of advice?
Not at all.
I don't blame her, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's to blame, whatever she's done. You check into it and you see.
Mm-hmm.
Gal gets married to a wrong guy and lasts up her whole life. Not her fault.
Except for one thing.
Yeah?
She married him. We went back to the office and ran the name Thomas Kernan through the record bureau. They came up with a package. Kernan had served time for burglary and was now on active parole. We checked with Fred Galloway at adult parole. He told us that Kernan's last known address was an apartment on Western Avenue. We drove out there.
Yeah. And here it is. Yeah, all set.
Wait a minute. All
right. Well, what do you want?
Come on, open up.
Okay, okay. Keep your hat on.
Police officer, stand still.
Who's moving?
Who's clean, Joe?
Where's your wife? Out. Out where?
I don't know. She wasn't here when I came home.
We'll look around.
Be my guest. Always knew you guys wrote as ex-cons. That ain't no surprise. But I didn't know you started picking on our wives, too.
No.
She's a nice kid.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start in on her. You stay on my back. I'm used to it. But let her alone.
Joe.
Yeah.
I found this case in the closet.
The watch is still inside.
Most of them, anyway.
All right.
The heck's that?
You didn't know about this?
Of course not.
Yeah, sure.
I never saw him before.
Your wife did.
Hmm?
How soon will she be back?
I don't know.
We'll wait.
Up to you. Never saw those watches before in my life, I'm telling you the truth.
You bet you are.
Even if Barbara did take them, that don't make me guilty of anything.
No.
Stupid broad. Once you start making with a question, she'll spill the whole deal.
But you didn't know anything about it.
Maybe I knew she was looking for a setup. What does that prove? Some setup. Guy with a suitcase full of watches. Dizzy Dame didn't even know they had serial numbers on them. What a brain. First job she ever pulled, she gets picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Time I was her age, I'd pulled half a dozen. You cops hadn't even tumbled once.
You're real bright.
That's the use. They won't learn. Tried to teach her the ropes. Gets picked up on her first job.
You know, you should have expected that.
Why? What do you mean?
Look who taught her.
The story you have just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On February 2nd, trial was held in Department 97, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. Thomas Carew Kernan was returned to the adult authority for violation of parole. Violation of parole is punishable by the term not served. Barbara Jane Kernan was found guilty of grand theft, one count. Grand theft is punishable by imprisonment in a county jail for not more than 1 year. Or in the state prison for not less than 1, nor more than 10 years.
You have just heard Dragnet,
the authentic story of your police force in action, and starring Jack Webb, a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Welcome back. Well, in this case, we're shown a story where the complaining witness lies and, is kind of protesting how he didn't mean any harm and is oblivious to the fact that he has been wasting the time of these police officers who he has looking for some fictitious guys. Incredible. The other thing I kind of noted about this episode was the beginning part with the sort of irony factor when Frank Smith was talking about how when he went to the movies, he could never guess who done it at the mysteries. And I guess that was kind of their commentary on the differences between truth and fiction when it comes to solving crimes, because it's the irony of the guys solves mysteries of various sort every month, but rarely do you run into the sort of things that movie detectives seem to thrive on. So interesting commentary there. All right. Well, I mentioned before the show we were going to talk about the future of the Dragnet podcast. And this is something, we've been asked about a few times and tried to put it off till we're pretty close to the time when it's going to actually be an issue. But we're here now in July, and we've got about 6 months' worth of shows left. An extra week thrown in, so this will probably take us first part of February, and then we will be done with the show. And now, it's incredible to think, we started this in 2007, and I didn't know what would happen, all sorts of things, could easily have occurred or caused some sort of difficulty could have prevented us from being able to get the show this long and get close to the end. And very thankful to everyone who stayed with us for all these years. But as we reach the end, the question is, what do we do next? When I think about the type of programs, I'd like to bring you, it is, it's almost overwhelming. Because I've discovered over the past years, there's so much wonderful stuff, in the world of, radio. If you want to talk comedy, you take, Abbott and Costello. I'm a huge fan of them. Burns and Allen, Armis Brooks, Life with Luigi, Life of Riley, and so on. Dramas, there's a lot of great ones. You know, I would, you know, I love Dr. Christian, Cavalcade of America, and music shows. Oh, goodness, it could kind of go on for some while. But, you know, and there's so much, you know, history programs. There's so much out there that's just absolutely amazing that they produce this type of quality in that type of quantity. You know, we're talking 52 weeks a year in some cases. Really a lot of amazing stuff out there. And, you know, if I had, you know, mass amounts of time, I could see, you know, doing, you know, two or three different additional podcasts. It's just a matter of the fact that we have other, you know, priorities that do need attention. So we don't have unlimited time for the podcast. So that brings the question, okay, now with that introductory spiel out of the way, what are we going to do with Dragnet Over? Well, and I've also thought of listeners in terms of what they might like or enjoy, make sure we could, you know, continue to have a good audience. And there are a few options that come to mind. The first thing I have to say about Dragnet is that it really is my favorite program. You know, despite hosting a program that a lot of folks would put in the nostalgia category, I'm not a huge reruns guy. Generally, most of the programs I'm watching, like when I get DVDs from Netflix, are things that, while they might be reruns, are in that cliche of our times, new to me. When I watch reruns, it's generally in a midst of a series of shows, some of which I've seen, some of which I've not seen. And, you know, I watch the rerun just to kind of have the rhythm of the show. Dragnet is a series, unless I really didn't like the episode, and there were a few in the 1960s, particularly in season three, I didn't, you know, care too much for. I pretty much watch an episode of Dragnet when I see the opportunity. Really, it is a favorite. And it's also a series I think that continues to get distorted by history and in some ways forgotten. I have heard people ask, you know, who's Jack Webb? And even seen some people or people have written, what's Dragnet? And obviously, to me, it's still important to keep that show and its memory and the power of it alive as generations go forward. Of course, through the magic of the internet, people can listen to all of my podcasts going back 6 years, even if I didn't do another run through a Dragnet. However, I think the way we've done this show, with folks listening every week and commenting, and us having that interactivity, I think has helped to bring the show to life for folks. And I think you at some point you do lose that if it's just a recording and nobody's, you know, checking the emails and such like that. So I definitely want to run through the Dragnet series again once we're done. Plus, you know, I've got a better idea of what I was doing and more understanding of the series than I were once than when I first started. In addition, we have far better encodes available of many of these early episodes than when we first played them. So, for that reason, I definitely want to repeat it. Now, I should say that doesn't necessarily mean that I want to start the series right after we finish in February. You know, because we've been on this kind of epic 6-year trip. You know, I know we're getting to an epic after show, but I think we would appreciate going through Dragnet again if there were a pause between our first and second trip through. So I guess I'll discuss what my top options are. One is just to take a simple hiatus. We could take a 3-month hiatus or a 6-month hiatus. Or if I wanted to be very creative, we could begin the first episode of the new Dragnet show on June the 3rd, 2013, which would be the 64th anniversary of Dragnet's premiere. Option two, and this is probably my preferred option at this point, would be to kind of consolidate a podcast. And I'm going to talk about this on the Great Detectives podcast, but I have the idea to expand the Great Detectives of old-time radio to 6 podcasts a week and make the 6th night a police procedural detective show. And so we would probably start the new police procedural program in January, and I would do a preview of that over here as an extra. There were some pretty good police procedural shows. I think those that were actually detective shows were spawned by Dragnet. The ones I'm thinking of are Tales of the Texas Ranger, which we wouldn't do right away because Andrew Rhines just finished that, I think less than a year ago. The lineup would probably be what we would start with, and also Police Headquarters, a 1930s police show that I found really does have kind of a detective bent, and it's interesting because it's so early. And so what would happen would be that we would run like lineup and perhaps a Police Headquarters for about a year, and then we would run through Dragnet. And I know not everyone wants to subscribe to all the detective shows, but with the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, you do have options as to what programs you would subscribe to. And you could choose just to subscribe to the procedurals. And that way, rather than offering listeners a hiatus where we're not recording something, they'd be able to enjoy one of the truly great radio procedurals outside of Dragnet. Outside of Dragnet and Detectives, there are a couple ideas I've had and have kind of kicked around in my head. One is, in recent months, I have just really become very impressed with the career of Jimmy Durante. Just a fascinating personality, a wonderful figure to listen to. I first started listening to him on The Big Show and just really become a huge fan. And I'd love to share some of that with listeners, kind of begin to collate and collect all the various Durante stuff. Another idea that's occurred to me is there's also quite a few programs out there where there are not a whole lot of programs to really build the popularity like a Dragnet. So it's occurred to me to do something like a Adam Graham Presents sort of thing, where we would go through one series or even a theme like find all the radio programs about Joan of Arc, work through that in a series, or work through Voyage of the Scarlet Queen. You know, there's only 37 weeks worth of stuff. That would, of course, present some, problems if, you were using wildly different programs. But stuff where there's, less than 100 episodes out there kind of give a running start. So these are some of the ideas I've had. The big one I'm leaning to right now is to kind of consolidate the shows. That way we've got one website to promote and can run things a little bit smoother in that regard. So I will announce that regardless of what else we decide, and this is a start of conversation, we will be moving to 2 episodes of Dragnet, or an episode of the television Dragnet, every other week so that we finish that by the time we complete the radio episodes. So listen next week for, or watch next week for another TV episode of Dragnet if you are on that feed. And I do mean it when I say it's a conversation, and even though no one's, specifically suggested the idea for the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, it came as a result of your feedback. And so I encourage it and I welcome it. All right, listen, additional listener comments and feedback. Finally, hello, Adam. I recently saw a TV, this comes from iTunes, by the way. Robert says, hello, Adam. I recently saw the TV episode entitled The Big New Year's, and it was kind of similar to the radio view version. The music at the end of the program was different, though. Of all my years listening and watching Dragnet, I've never heard that theme before. What do you know about the closing theme? Just curious. Keep up the good work, Adam. Well, thanks so much for the question. I actually have not watched the episode The Big New Year. It's one I've acquired and one I'm going to share with you when I get to it. But I kind of like discovering some of these shows as you do, so my reflections are somewhat fresh. Regarding the, I played the end part of the episode, and the theme music did not sound any different whatsoever. And what often happens with the Dragnet programs, there are a number of things. There's a lot of copying going on because you're dealing with public domain programs, or in some cases, there are some television programs that are under copyright, because they're not really enforced, they're not really perceived as, you know, presenting some sort of copyright problem. So people copy freely from one another. And in some cases, people have replaced the closing theme music with generic theme music due to some interpretation of the law regarding music rights. And so there are many possibilities. Mine, like I said, just look like plain Jane vanilla, typical Dragnet theme music. So I'm sorry I can't speak to it, and I hope I've kind of explained why this might occur and why there might be differences. In addition to that, you know, you not only have differences in who's processing it, but you do have some prints that are from the original run of Dragnet and some from the syndicated run of Bad 714. So I'm not aware of any officially sanctioned differences that you'd be seeing there. So hope that answers your question. Final comment, simple, great show from Deanna. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. I think this is probably the longest in a year or so. I hope that we've had a great start of conversation. Thank you again so much for all your support as we've gone through these difficulties in recent months. It's truly appreciated. And we'll see you back here next week for another episode of Dragnet. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Dragnet. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.